Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
So I don't know about you, but I've been loving this series, The God of the Second Chance, taking a look at different characters throughout Scripture who were given a second chance, were extended forgiveness by the Lord, how they responded to that, and what that means for our life. And specifically looking at the characteristic of the Lord, the characteristics of the Lord, the pictures of his character and how he is a merciful, loving, forgiving, patient God who cares for us. That when we sin, God does not simply toss us away, but instead pursues our redemption. And I've just been loving each week. Like I loved our first week talking about Aaron, how the Lord continued to use Aaron even though he made some pretty big mistakes. And then how last week we got a chance to look at Peter, who I have talked about as being one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture, how Peter was this smart aleck and he was used by the Lord for this incredible building of the church. But how the Lord showed up and called him to love others. And so tonight, we're going to take a look at a couple characters in Scripture that really don't get talked about often. And it's in a book in Scripture that oftentimes doesn't ever get preached. It's easy to miss. As you flip through the New Testament, it's easy to miss. It's usually only about a page. Actually, in my Bible, it's only half a page. It's the book of Philemon. And so there's two real characters to this. It's Philemon and Onesimus. And there's some beautiful picture of redemption, of forgiveness, of reconciliation. And I'm super excited because it's not always what we think. And so tonight I'm excited to talk about what that looks like. But before we dive into God's word, let's pray if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you. Lord, we are so incredibly thankful for your word that you've given it to us to teach us. Lord, I pray that tonight you would teach us through your word and that we would be open to hear and that we wouldn't just hear your word, but that we would be changed by your word, that it would lead to different conversations and different actions, Lord, than how we naturally want to live, which is contrary to you. Lord, I pray that you would just use your Holy Spirit in our lives this evening and that you would give each of us an understanding and the wisdom to live that understanding out. Lord, we love you in your precious and holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, open to the book of Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. There's really actually only one chapter in the book of Philemon. And while you're turning there, don't be ashamed if you need to look in the table of contents in your Bible. Like I said, it's a small book. It's easy to miss. But I want to give you a little bit of the background of what is happening. And so, like I said, there's two characters here. There's Philemon, who the letter is written to, and Onesimus, who the letter is written about. And the writer of the letter is Paul. And so many of us know Paul. Paul is an apostle. He is a former persecutor of the church who came to know the Lord and was used by the Lord in a mighty way for the church. And so Paul's MO is he goes and he's a missionary. He's not only an apostle, but a missionary. He's going around to different places and starting churches. And while he was starting the church of Colossians, there was a person in the church of Colossians, the Colossian church, by the name of Philemon. And Philemon heard Paul's message of the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins through the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus, which is the security, the eternal security that we have, and heard this message from Paul and received salvation, became a believer. And Philemon, he ended up starting a church in his home. Now, we don't know if Philemon was the pastor of that church, was heading the church, or if he was just using his home as, and he was being host to the church, but he was involved in the church. And so here's this guy who is deeply involved in the church, has become a believer, has a church in his home, is aiding in the running of that church. And then you have Onesimus. Onesimus was Philemon's bondservant. So what a bondservant was is essentially a glorified slave. Really what happens is back in those times, if you had owed a debt to someone and couldn't pay that debt off, what you would do is you would enter this bond service or this contract, this indentured servitude. And so you would function as a slave, and you would function as a slave for as long as it took to pay off the debt which you incurred. So Onesimus was serving as this bondservant, and while he was serving as Philemon's bondservant, he decided that he was done. He was still under obligation to serve. He was still legally contracted as a bondservant to Philemon, but he turned and he fled. And as he left, he wronged Philemon. Now, it's not clear exactly how he wronged Philemon. There's people who think that he stole from Philemon. There's people that think that he harmed Philemon or harmed people in Philemon's household. Whatever he did, it says that he wronged Philemon as he left, as he fled. And in the process of fleeing, Onesimus finds himself around Paul. And as he spends time around Paul, Onesimus becomes a believer, receives the same gospel that Philemon had received, and comes to know Jesus Christ, confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, believes in his heart that he is risen from the dead. And so after he goes and he ends up with Paul, he actually receives the Lord, and then he becomes an assistant to the ministry that Paul was doing. It's believed that Paul was, he was captured or in prison at this time. And so Onesimus was assisting Paul in some way. Whatever that looked like, he was aiding to Paul's ministry. And so Paul was in an interesting predicament. Here he has a guy who has fled from his duties and responsibilities, wronged a fellow believer, and is there under the wrong pretenses. But also a man who has been saved, forgiven by Jesus Christ, has come to be a believer, and is a great assistant to the ministry of Jesus that Paul is doing. And so Paul has this decision that he has to make. Does he tell Onesimus to make things right, or does he basically just say, forget about it, you know, you're doing good work here and that will fix it? And Paul decides to teach a very important lesson to both Onesimus and to Philemon. And so what Paul does is he writes a letter to Philemon, which is this letter of Paul to Philemon, which we're going to read, and he sends it with Onesimus back to Philemon. And so we get a picture of what's said in that letter, right? This is that letter. And so we're going to pick up in verse 12. This is what Paul's ask is, or this is the chunk of the letter to Philemon that we get to see kind of this picture of what Paul is really getting at. He says this, starting in verse 12. So Philemon chapter 1, or the only chapter, starting in verse 12. I am sending him, Onesimus, back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be felt by, or might not be by compulsion, but out of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So here, he writes this letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, sends it with Onesimus back to Philemon, and in it says, receive him back to you, not as the bondservant, the slave that he was, but instead, make him an equal. Make him a brother in Christ. Now think about the reality of what Paul is asking of Philemon. There's some significant sacrifice that comes along with this forgiveness. Onesimus is under financial obligation to Philemon. You don't just become a bondservant. He owed Philemon a debt, and a sizable one that he would have to work for this period of time and work under these conditions to pay it off. So Paul is asking him to forgive a financial wrongdoing, to sacrifice financially and forgive. Paul is asking him to sacrifice by overlooking wrongdoing. Not only did Onesimus flee, give up his obligation, but he wronged Philemon, did something, whether it was stealing, whether it was harm, and Paul asks Philemon to overlook it, forgive. But then, on top of all of that, Paul asks Philemon to elevate Onesimus to family member, to brother. Elsewhere in the letter, Paul actually asks him to prepare a room in his household so that when Onesimus comes back, he has a place to stay in Philemon's household. Think about the reality of the cost of what Paul is asking. The depth of forgiveness that that takes. Not only a surface level forgiveness, not only a financial forgiveness, right? Forgiving like a loan. Not only a forgiveness of harm, but so deep a forgiveness that he brings him into his own home. Sometimes, because the word forgiveness is thrown around so often in our culture, in our world, we forget of the reality of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is sacrifice. That's really what forgiveness is. We have to sacrifice to forgive. is whatever a person did that warrants forgiveness hurt. It takes a piece of us, whether we're forgiving a financial debt, whether we're forgiving someone who said hurtful words or done hurtful things. The reality is we are lacking. They owe us something. They owe us making it right. They owe us paying us back. They owe us justice. Whatever it is, we are owed something. And what forgiveness is letting that go, is sacrificing that which we are owed and said, you know what? We're even, we're good. Paul calls Philemon to do this. And I can imagine if I was sitting in Philemon's shoes, right? And Paul wrote this letter to me. I would struggle because I'd look and say, I get that I'm a Christian and all, but why go the extra mile in my forgiveness? Right? Philemon, he has the ability to have Onesimus thrown in prison. He has the ability to have him harshly punished. And Paul asked him to forgive there. And I can imagine him saying, okay, I get it. All right, I'll forgive those things. I won't have him thrown in jail. I won't have him punished, right? I'll forgive the wrongdoing. But you want me to do what now? Go the extra mile? And Paul gives him a very simple reason. Keep looking at verse 17. Paul says this. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Now I find this word here that Paul uses very interesting. He says, if you consider me your partner. Well, how would these two be partnered? Right? How are they lined up? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Remember when I talked about how Paul, he was in the Colossian church, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And Christ's resurrection, showing that he had paid and that we had eternal security. And Philemon hears that gospel of Jesus Christ and has a church in his home proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here, what Paul is saying is, I am a missionary proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are running a church in your home proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Forgiveness of our sins because of the death of Jesus Christ for those sins. And our redemption because of his resurrection from the dead. He says, so if you consider me a partner, if we're both on the same page about our forgiveness because of the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, then that means we are both forgiven people. People who have received forgiveness from the Lord, not based off of what we've done, not based off of the ways we could make things even, but only based off of what Christ has done for us. Well, what happened to Onesimus when he was around Paul? Onesimus was saved by that same gospel. saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he says, if you consider me a partner, and I've been forgiven, and you've been forgiven, well, Onesimus has been forgiven. Receive him as you would receive me. We are forgiven people. And in fact, if he did anything wrong, or if there's anything still left for him to be forgiven for, charge it to me. He says, I have received forgiveness I don't deserve. Philemon, you have received forgiveness you don't deserve. Why not show Onesimus that same forgiveness? Yeah, Onesimus didn't deserve it. Onesimus doesn't deserve to be forgiven his debt. Onesimus didn't deserve for you to overlook that he fled and took advantage of you. Onesimus doesn't deserve to be elevated, to be a part of your family. But we didn't deserve eternal redemption. We didn't deserve forgiveness that came through the death of Jesus Christ. So let's forgive. What Paul is doing here is demonstrating a life lived around the gospel that he preached. This is the only book that Paul writes where he doesn't explicitly talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Why? Because he's demonstrating it. And this is exactly what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to turn there, you can. It'll be on the screen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he's writing to the Corinthian church. He's saying, this is the reality that we live in. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the reality is you have been forgiven. And this is what forgiven people look like. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He's saying, this is a picture of the gospel, that Christ was sinless, and that he went to the cross and he took on our sin. He became sin. He died on the cross and he rose again, conquering sin, giving forgiveness to us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he's risen from the dead and that he is Lord. And he says, he was reconciling the world to himself, not counting what we did wrong, not counting our trespasses, not counting our disobedience, not counting our sin, not counting our time and addiction, not counting any of the things that we've done wrong. And he did that so that we would be ambassadors and help reconcile the world to him. Here's what Paul is saying. He's calling Philemon to demonstrate the gospel to Onesimus. I can imagine, as I shared this story tonight about Onesimus and Philemon, that some of you have put yourself in Onesimus's place. Look, it said, we're forgiven by God, right? I'm the person who I've wronged this person. I owed this debt and I fled and now I've received Jesus and I need to go back and make things right. That is a biblical truth, right? If you have wronged people and you've been forgiven by the Lord, you need to go and make things right. But that is not the reason that we have the book of Philemon. The reason we have the book of Philemon is for us to put ourselves in Philemon's shoes. In this story, we are not meant to be Onesimus. If you're a believer in this room, you're not meant to be Onesimus in this. You are meant to see yourself as Philemon. That we look and we say, we need to forgive as Christ forgave. Some of you in this room, you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are still holding on to anger and resentment. Some of you in this room are still refusing to forgive people who have caused you deep wounds. You won't let go. You won't give it up. You won't lay it down. You're holding it as white-knuckled, close to the chest as you can. You said, Lord, I'll give you anything, but I won't forgive X. I won't forgive them. I won't let it go. Remember when I talked about the reality of forgiveness? How it's sacrifice? Forgiveness is not meant to be easy. Forgiveness is not just something that's proclaimed. I'm not here to discredit the wounds you have. Please do not hear that. As I tell you to forgive, as I talk to you about forgiveness and reconciliation, what I'm not saying is you should not hurt. What I'm not saying is you don't have a reason to hurt. Some of the wounds you have are deep and real and hard. But forgiveness is a sacrifice. A sacrifice that Christ paid for us. A sacrifice that we've been given because Christ went to the cross. And so what Paul is saying in this letter to Philemon, what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us today from the book of Philemon, is second chance people give second chances. Reconciled people, restored people, reconcile and restore. Forgiven people, forgive. Man, it's one of the hardest things to do. But it's a sacrifice. Now, some of you in this room are thinking, Pastor, are you telling me that I have to go back to X person and how deeply they've hurt me and we got to be buddy-buddy? That's not what I'm saying. Pastor Randy Johnson, many people know him as Doc. He was around the river for a long time. He once said to me something that really shaped forgiveness for me. He said, if your accountant steals money from you, you can forgive them. That doesn't mean they're going to stay your accountant. And so when you forgive people, that doesn't mean you need to let them have an all-access pass to your life again. But what it does mean is you sacrifice. The things that you think you're owed, you lay them down. So you know what? I'm good. I've got Jesus. And so tonight, my encouragement to you is to take steps toward forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is a process. I'm not asking you to just proclaim and declare forgiveness and it to be done and you never think about it again. It's hard. It's a process. Trust me. But some of you are so against forgiveness And what Paul says is that's so contrary to the forgiveness you've received. And so my encouragement to you tonight is if you claim Jesus Christ as Lord, if you've received that salvation and that forgiveness, to look and say, you know what? It's time for me to forgive. It's time for me to begin to demonstrate that with my life. Man, if you're having a hard time with that, we have some table leaders down here tonight. They would love to pray with you. They would love to encourage you. Tonight, in your table groups, if you're having a hard time with that, I encourage you, talk to your table leader about it. They would love to encourage you. They'd love to help you. They'd love to give you some practical next steps on what that forgiveness looks like. But tonight, my encouragement to you is start to pursue a heart of forgiveness. So during this next song, like I said, whether it's coming down and praying, whether it's staying in your seat and praying, take that time and reflect and say, Lord, is my heart a heart after you? Tonight, if you've never received the gospel, my encouragement to you is to receive that forgiveness. You're never going to be able to truly forgive unless you're forgiven. And there's only one way to be forgiven, to be saved. It's through salvation in Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, come down and talk with table leader. Grab me after the gathering. Grab some of the lanyard on. We'd love to encourage you. We'd love to answer your questions about salvation. But tonight, instead of the one receiving the second chance, the call is to give those second chances and to forgive the way that Christ has forgiven us. Let's pray. Lord, your word is sometimes incredibly difficult. Lord, but it's still so good. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us. The forgiveness that comes through your son's death and resurrection. Lord, I pray that as we've received that salvation, Lord, I pray we would demonstrate, be an ambassador, being someone who reconciles others. Lord, and I pray that we would both seek forgiveness and give forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the wisdom and discernment to navigate that. That we wouldn't try and do that alone. Lord, but I pray that you would guide us and that we would rely on you. I pray that you'd give us a heart that sees the things that you see and forgives the way that you forgive. Your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.